I'm Montse Alvarado. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, Taking a Stand. The Supreme Court hears oral argument in a case involving Catholic charities. We have the latest. Push for peace. The White House expresses frustration with President Zelensky and Putin as it seeks an end to the war in Ukraine. Power of prayer.
We thought we did everything within reasonable possibility to protect it if it was the Blessed Sacrament.
A report from Kansas after a so-called black mass at the state capitol. Plus, instruments of reconciliation. Learn all about a special event at the Vatican this weekend featuring missionaries of mercy. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, nearly 2 years after it last heard a religious freedom case, the U.S. Supreme Court turned its attention to the First Amendment's religion clauses involving Catholic charities and whether it can have a tax exemption. Catholic Charities contends that it is entitled to these exemptions because it's a charitable organization that carries out a religious mission. But attorneys representing Wisconsin's Labor Commission disagree. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has more on today's oral argument. Eric?
Good evening, Monse. This case has worked its way through Wisconsin's judicial system over the past 9 years. The latest decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court found Catholic Charities does not, quote, operate primarily for religious purposes, so it cannot be tax exempt. But today's attorneys for Catholic Charities told the justices Wisconsin's denial violates religious freedoms protected by the First Amendment and claim the case isn't that complicated.
It's important for religious bodies to be able to follow their faith while still participating in the public square and helping those who are most in need. So to penalize Catholic Charities because it serves all people in need, whether they're Catholic or not, is a real problem.
Wisconsin is punishing Catholic Charities Bureau for following the example of Christian love. We do not help the needy because they are Catholic. We help them because we are Catholic.
The Trump administration backs this Catholic Charities religious liberty case. During oral argument, a U.S. Justice Department attorney and others argued motivation is key.
Catholic Charities Bureau is motivated by a religious purpose. The question is just whether that is so outweighed by the nature of their activities here that they can't be considered to be their principal purpose, that that's not why they're being operated.
Even Obama appointee Justice Elena Kagan questioned Wisconsin's arguments.
But it might be a matter of religious doctrine that we don't require people to say the Lord's Prayer with us before we give them soup. But I thought it was pretty fundamental that we don't treat some religions better than other religions, and we certainly don't do it based on the content of the religious doctrine that those religions preach.
Wisconsin's Justice Department attorney claims allowing religious tax exemptions would open Pandora's box and hurt workers.
It would leave potentially over 1 million employees nationwide without unemployment coverage, like nurses and janitors at religiously affiliated hospitals, even though the state could virtually always determine their benefit eligibility without confronting religious doctrine.
This appeal is one of three religious right cases the Supreme Court will hear in the next few weeks. Another will determine whether Oklahoma can create the nation's first religious charter school. And another case is a challenge from parents who want their elementary school children excused from classes when books with LGBTQ plus characters are used in them. Outside the U.S. Supreme Court, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
President Donald Trump continues to try to end the fighting in Ukraine, but he's expressing frustration with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky as the war drags on into its fourth year. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen?
Monse, that frustration came out this past weekend. In an interview with NBC, President Trump said he was angry that Putin questioned Zelensky's credibility.
Russia launches a new nighttime attack on the city of Kharkiv in northeastern Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Moscow launched more than 1,000 drones over the past week, and Russia accused Ukraine of carrying out drone attacks against Russian energy facilities. On Air Force One, President Donald Trump told reporters while he thinks Vladimir Putin will be okay with a deal.
I was disappointed in a certain way, some of the things that were said over the last day or two having to do with consider Zelensky not credible, he's supposed to be making a deal with him, whether you like him or you don't like him. So I wasn't happy with that.
President Trump also went after Volodymyr Zelensky.
And I think Zelensky, by the way, I see he's trying to back out of the rare earth deal. And if he does that, he's got some problems, big, big problems.
The U.S. has been pushing for a comprehensive ceasefire deal between Russia and Ukraine. A Kremlin spokesman says Russia views efforts to end its war with Ukraine as a drawn-out process, and that attempts to secure a settlement that stops the fighting are ongoing. Russia has effectively rejected a U.S. proposal for an immediate and full 30-day halt in the fighting. The U.S. State Department summarizing the situation this way.
What matters every single day is wondering who's alive today, who won't be alive tomorrow. And fortunately for us, we don't necessarily walk through our day with that concern. For the people in Ukraine, they do. Negotiations are going to require both Russia and Ukraine to make tough decisions and compromises.
And on the North Lawn of the White House, I asked Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt about the current prospects for peace.
How confident is President Trump that he can get a peace deal done in Ukraine?
Well, look, the president is working incredibly hard to get a peace deal done between Russia and Ukraine. And he has expressed his displeasure with comments that have been made by leaders of both sides of this conflict. He has expressed what he believes needs to take place in order to see this conflict come to an end. He continues to work very hard on it, and our teams continue to be engaged.
Now, the Kremlin says Putin remains absolutely open to contacts with President Trump. It's not sure when tonight the two leaders might talk again. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
The number of those killed in Myanmar's devastating earthquake has passed 2,000. That is according to state media. Rescuers and activist groups say that several hundred Muslims died while praying at mosques, and 200 Buddhist monks were crushed by a collapsed monastery when the earthquake struck last week. Relief efforts are being hampered by power outages, fuel shortages, and spotty communications following the 7.7 magnitude quake. The dire situation comes amid a civil war already being fought in the nation. In France, popular right-wing leader Marie Le Pen has been convicted of embezzlement and is barred from seeking public office for 5 years. Le Pen was also sentenced to 2 years under house arrest. Her lawyer says she will appeal the verdict. She and 24 other National Rally Party officials were accused of having used money intended for European Union parliamentary aides to instead pay staff who worked for the party. Le Pen was seeking her fourth run for the French presidency in 2027. In Italy, an investigation is underway after a fire breaks out at a Tesla dealership near Rome earlier today. At least 17 Teslas were destroyed. No one was hurt. Investigators have not ruled out arson as a cause. There have been multiple reports across Italy of Teslas being vandalized, with anti-Elon Musk and anti-Donald Trump sentiments written in spray paint. Meanwhile, here in America, Elon Musk is making headlines again after he gave million-dollar checks to two people in Wisconsin. It comes ahead of a special election for the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, tomorrow. Musk gave the checks to two voters who signed a petition opposing, quote, activist judges. The state attorney general sued to stop the payments, but the Supreme Court decided not to block the move. That special election in Wisconsin is getting national attention, with millions of dollars pouring in from across the country. Conservative Brad Schimel is up against progressive Susan Crawford, and a lot is on the line. Joining us for more is Corey Ucalito, managing editor with Ballotpedia. Corey, thank you so much for joining us. Issues of campaign finance loom over this election. How does the reported over $20 million to support former Wisconsin AG Brad Schimel and the $1 million George Soros has reportedly donated through organizations to back Judge Susan Crawford affect this local race? Is it really local?
No, it's a statewide race. And the last Wisconsin Supreme Court election in 2023 was the most expensive judicial race in American history, surpassing, I think, a 2004 Illinois state Supreme Court race. So some estimates are having total spending between the candidates as approaching $80 or $100 million. A lot of that is what we'd call satellite spending, outside organizations and things like that. Crawford, though, has raised about $22 million. Schimel has reported raising about $10 million. Those numbers kind of even out when you look at the comparison between what satellite groups are spending. But, this is just part of a trend of Wisconsin Supreme Court races becoming extremely expensive.
Very expensive. Well, let's talk about the issues. Abortion rights has come up with judicial candidates carefully tiptoeing the line of taking positions, which they're not supposed to do, on this issue. But Susan Crawford, who formerly represented Planned Parenthood and is endorsed by Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, seems like a position. And Brad Schimmel seems oddly quiet on this issue as well. Is he quiet because the issue fared poorly last November?
I can't really comment on why or why not he's quiet on the issue. There are two pending cases, I think, that were merged into one before the Wisconsin Supreme, or expected to come before the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the coming months. Those are about what was called a trigger law, expected to go into effect after Roe v. Wade was overturned, that banned abortion after certain stages. That was passed in 1849. It went into effect briefly for about a year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. It was thrown out by a lower court. And so the court is expected to rule on what role that 1849 law on abortion means. And so who's sitting on the Supreme Court is going to certainly be interesting. Right now, the Democrats have a 4-3 majority. Democrats or left-leaning justices, it's a nonpartisan race, have a 4-3 majority.
So you're looking at this balance of the court. How likely now, with early voting pouring in, is it that there'll be a shift?
The polls I've seen are close, and there's a tremendous amount of spending on both sides. The recent elections have favored Democrats. In the last election, 2023, the Democratic-leaning candidate won by about 10 percentage points. In fact, I think the last three elections were won by about more than 10 percentage points for Democrats. The last time a Republican won, it was a much tighter race. President Trump won the state by about a percentage point in 2024. There's a lot going on. There's a lot at play. So it could be a close race.
Well, it seems like it is, and we'll be watching it carefully. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly. Missionaries on the move. Why hundreds of missionaries of mercy came to Rome over the weekend and found this profound message that they had for the Jubilee Pilgrims.
Satanists gather at the Kansas State Capitol building. Catholics gather in peaceful opposition. I'm Alan Holdren in Topeka, Kansas. That story ahead.
There's new leadership in the Archdiocese of Omaha. Pope Francis accepted the resignation of Archbishop George J. Lucas, who is 75. He also appointed Bishop Michael G. McGovern as his successor. The 60-year-old Archbishop-elect McGovern is a native of Chicago and has been the Bishop of Belleville, Illinois, since 2020. He will be installed as Omaha's new Archbishop on May 7th. The U.S. Bishops' Conference is urging lawmakers to stop funding abortion and so-called gender transition services. In a letter, the church leaders say in part, quote, "As you consider how to best steward taxpayer resources in the weeks ahead, we call upon you to stop funding abortion and gender transition industries that gravely violate human dignity. Instead, we urge you to prioritize the needs of struggling families so they can flourish." Now to France, where the Shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes says it will no longer display mosaics from Father Marco Rupnik that appear on the doors leading to the Basilica of the Rosary. You'll recall that Father Rupnik, a priest and an artist, has been accused of spiritual, psychological, and sexual abuse of religious sisters. Bishop Jean-Marc Mika says this is the second step following his decision last summer to no longer light up the mosaics at night and during processions. The mosaics are being covered with yellow material and the words, "With Mary, Pilgrims of Hope, 2025. Bishop Mika says he's working for the victims, for the church, and for Lourdes and its message for all. Father Rupnik is currently facing a canonical trial over the abuse allegations. Last year, the Knights of Columbus covered mosaics by Rupnik at the St. John Paul II National Shrine in Washington and in the chapel at the Knights' headquarters in New Haven, Connecticut. The Society of Jesus is offering reparations to the women who say they were abused by Father Rupnik. Throughout the month of March, a group of self-proclaimed Satanists from Leavenworth, Kansas, said it planned to hold a black mass in Kansas State Capitol building on Friday, March 28th. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly reacted by prohibiting it from taking place inside the Capitol, but allowed for them to do so outside on Capitol grounds instead. Kansas City Archbishop Joseph Nauman then led an effort to retrieve the consecrated host needed for a black mass. But when the Satanist leader said under oath last week he didn't actually have one, Catholics of Kansas simply responded with an outpouring of prayer. Correspondent Alan Holdren was in Topeka for EWTN News Nightly on Friday.
Under the dome of the Kansas State Capitol building on Friday, several dozen members of the Satanic Grotto group threatened to carry out what they called a black mass. Christians of all stripes manifested their opposition, some silently praying, others in direct confrontation on the Kansas State Capitol grounds. Many Catholics showed up independently or as part of groups like Catholic Vote and Tradition Family Property, which held prayer rallies simultaneously.
Asking God to forgive us as a state, as a country. We can't ask God to bless America if America doesn't bless God.
So we came to pray with Archbishop across from the Capitol and just do what we can to, turn people to Jesus.
You know, this is the side that they want to be on, not on that side.
Across the street at Assumption Catholic Church, in peace, many Catholics gathered for prayers of reparation with Kansas City, Kansas Archbishop Joseph Nauman.
It is a sad day for Kansas when our capital is being used to host satanic worship that is intended to mock God, mock Jesus Christ, mock all people of faith, mock all Christians, and in particular to mock our Catholic faith.
The Archbishop also led those present in a consecration to Christ through Our Lady, after consecrating Kansas to Christ in a separate celebration earlier in the week. Just like here, people across the state took part in adoration and mass at the same time. While they prayed, the head of the Satanic Grotto was arrested inside the Capitol building after he threw punches at a protester.
The events here in Topeka drew attention from across the United States. Catholic leaders here say that people of goodwill everywhere can learn from their experience.
First of all, it's a spiritual battle. And look at it from a spiritual standpoint first. And then also be smart in the human sense, in the secular sense as well. And, have a plan going forward and have Jesus at the start of that plan. And then look at it as an opportunity for evangelization.
He can do many harmful things, but we don't have to fear the devil if we're close to Jesus.
What would you say to members of the Satanic Grotto group if you were able to speak with them?
We're praying for them, praying that they know that they're made in the divine image, that Jesus gave his life on Calvary. And even from the cross, he forgave those who desecrated him by nailing him to the cross.
Their prayer, and that of Catholics and other Christians across Kansas, is that the members of the Satanic Grotto repent of their actions and convert. In Topeka, Kansas, Alan Holdren, EWTN News Nightly.
Have mercy on us and on the whole.
The Kansas Reflector reported that five separate individuals were arrested at the Capitol, including other members of the Satanic Grotto and Marcus Schroeder, the young man that confronted the Grotto's leader inside the Capitol. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, Message of Mercy, a report from Rome and a global gathering focused on the forgiveness of God. Over the weekend, more than 500 missionaries of mercy from all over the world traveled to the Vatican for the 2025 Jubilee. For 3 days, the priests gathered in prayer to strengthen their mission and ministry to bring God's forgiveness to the faithful through the sacrament of confession. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Siedegren has more.
For 10 years, they have been serving as a sign of the Church's maternal care for the people of God. The Missionaries of Mercy were instituted by Pope Francis at the beginning of the Extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy in 2015. And given the special authority to forgive sins reserved to the Apostolic See. Those are sins that cannot be absolved by an ordinary priest, but require a higher authority. Their ministry focuses on hearing confessions and preaching God's boundless mercy for all, as part of a special outreach emphasizing compassion and hope.
Pope Francis has seen the greater need of reconciliation in the people, and he gave us this privilege, not only the privilege, it is the spiritual responsibility to share this great opportunity with the people, the sacrament, and bringing the people to the Lord and experiencing God's graces.
After a moment of prayer, the sixth major Jubilee event kicked off with a celebration of 24 hours for the Lord for the 12th year in a row at the Basilica of Sant'Andrea della Valle. The Lenten initiative of prayer and reconciliation, which was also celebrated in dioceses around the world on the same day, aimed to put the sacrament of reconciliation back at the center of the Church's pastoral life. For pilgrims, it was a unique opportunity to approach the Lord and experience His mercy and goodness.
So I believe confession and adoration is important for everyone to continue to find ways to connect with God. And once you're doing that, whether you know it's daily, weekly, it still gives you that opportunity to speak to God.
It makes me feel safe because He's always around me, and He makes me safe.
Although Pope Francis could not attend the event as he's recovering from his recent hospitalization, he sent a written message to the missionaries, expressing his gratitude and encouragement for their work as confessors. The Holy Father emphasized that the missionaries of mercy offer people enduring the weight of sin the gift of God's forgiveness, calling it a source of hope. It's a gift that the pilgrims feel in a real way.
I came here feeling very sad. I entered this time of adoration with sadness, but I was fortunate to be able to go to confession, to embrace the Lord again, and He restored my joy, because I was created for this, and many times I realized that I'm not being who I should be, because I'm sad, because I'm far away from the Lord, because I sin. And seeing that the Lord looks upon me with mercy is such a great gift.
Accompanied by their families and collaborators, the missionaries of mercy were able to walk through the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica on Saturday. The Jubilee event concluded the following day with a celebration of Mass presided over by Archbishop Rino Fisichella, the pro-prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization, at the Basilica of Sant'Andrea della Valle. The Archbishop urged the missionaries of mercy, as special instruments of reconciliation, to continue to remind everyone of how immense God's love is. In Rome, Benedictia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Montse Alvarado. Good night, and God bless you.